Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the master.
Come after us, Vince. We're stealing your music.
I'll wait for the last little bit.
All right, here we go.
Oh, my God. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the 100th podcast of the Final Play podcast. We've hit 100. Who would have thought?
Couple of degenerates.
Yeah, well, that's definitely true. So we thought we'd save, well, I guess it was sort of end up being sort of perfect timing, but the we're doing the 2020 NBA Finals, which ended up being the Lakers versus the Heat, which, I mean, I guess at the start of the season. Sorry?
You finished partying, have you?
I might. There could be one more party if Melbourne win. If Melbourne can make it to the grand final and win, I could have two for two this year. That'd be amazing.
Can't all back it could front happen.
But yeah, who cares? but no, like Lakers, like you know, people were picking Lakers at the start of the season, but no one was talking about Miami at the start of the season.
I think a lot of the chat was around Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. Maybe Celtics, and mate. I think some foolish podcast co-host picked Philadelphia at the start of the season to be a powerhouse as well, and that was a great failure.
Talk about blow up, but we'll go through these games. So the Lakers won 1-6, in six games. Oh my God, I can't even start properly. Done 100 of these, you think it'd be better. But yeah, we've done 100. You'd think it'd be better. First game was the Lakers really just, I guess, just asserting their authority, but they won 116-98. It just looked like they were ready for that final. Well, at least LeBron was.
Oh, LeBron was always ready for these finals. You know, like you said, 18 point win. Miami sort of started and finished that game well, but when it mattered, you know, the Lakers sort of pushed forward. Miami sort of got off to the hot start in that game. I think they led 25-12. Bam Adebayo sort of had 6 points in that first 5 minutes, and sort of not so much, you know, sort of wanted to stamp the authority on the game, but just wanted to establish that sort of, I'm a bit of a go-to guy, but let's be honest. The game turned, in one point when Goran Dragic went down in that second quarter.
Yeah, for sure.
With that plantar tear on his left foot. And that sort of stunted them a little bit. Like, he ended up only playing 15 minutes in that game. And from there, LA just put the pedal to the metal and did not let Miami get back up after that first initial blow.
And you could sort of tell once they got that second quarter, the Lakers just really, and then continued on, and then the Heat had to fight back in the fourth. But that second quarter, once Dragic was down, they murdered them. They, outscoring them by 14 points in that third quarter. And then even the fourth quarter, really, if you add it all up, they were nearly like, I think it was like a 25-point lead coming into that third quarter at least.
No, Miami were down by as many as 32.
Yeah, yeah.
As soon as that happened, and then Bam goes down as well with the shoulder injury, and it was just, they're just so down on troops at the moment. Yeah. Jimmy Butler's the one. He rolled his ankle twice in that game as well. So they were just, really, really struggling for sort of healthy bodies. And it just sort of told. And in that second half, like LA come out, especially in that first half, and shot brilliant from three. They were 11 for 17 in the first half. Cooled off in the second half, but all the damage was done, you know, in that second quarter.
And especially, Dragic has been one of those players for the Heat that everyone's talking about Jimmy Butler, but I think he's been one of those players for the Heat that really got him to those finals.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Really asserted himself.
That 4-3, you know, of Dragic, Bam, and Jimmy Butler were the driving force behind that. Yeah. And then you had good contributions from Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and guys like that. So,
Kendrick Nunn stepped up in that game too.
Well, Kendrick Nunn had no option but to sort of – he'd correct. Sort of fallen out of the rotation a little bit, but mm-hmm. he – essentially had to get put back in because of the injury to Dragic. So I guess left-hander for left-hander, but you know, obviously Dragic has got the experience and the know-how, and you know, Kendrick Nunn is a rookie. So it's it was a vast contrast in experience, and you know, to say that it was all over by the shouting after game one. I won't say that, but
it looked how dominant they were.
All signs started to point that this could be LA's to take home. If we sort of move on to game two, no Bam, no Dragic, so they looked a little disjointed.
And the dominance of the two big, like LeBron and Anthony, really come through, just like exposing them that they had no Bam and no Dragic, really. Yeah. And that's how I took from that.
Kelly Olynyk did admirable and stepped in for Bam Adebayo at 24 points.
Yeah, he did. Myers Leonard played terrible that game.
I think that's what they did. You know, they started Myers Leonard and essentially after he had those starting minutes, then that was pretty much it. And they put Olynyk in there. You know, he had 37 minutes. He had the most off the bench. Like, he played more bench minutes than Iguodala and Kendrick Nunn. So, I think that was the sort of plan to try and stretch LA out a little bit.
Yeah.
LA sort of come out and didn't shoot the three as well as what they did in game one. But the story of that game was really, for me, the amount of free throws that Jimmy Butler sort of racked up. And, not so much and just the efficiency of AD and LeBron in that. Like, that was crazy efficient game.
Yeah. And the other thing I took out of that game as well is that, while, the big two scored over 30 points, they did get a little bit more contribution this time from the bench. Like, Rajon Rondo ended up getting 16 and Kuzma ended up getting 11 as well. So
16 and 10 for Rondo. I told you this. Yeah, we were saying this all bubble and all year. Do not underestimate the effect that Rondo will have on this team. And he was just – he was amazing in these playoffs. You know, not 100%. Draw-dropping stats or anything like that. But the smarts and the IQ of him was just – it is exactly what the Lakers needed.
He was someone we desperately needed. Didn't have to start, and I don't think he cared, to be completely honest.
At this stage of his career, he doesn't care if he starts or not. That's, I mean, not even big minutes, you know. I don't even think he would have averaged about 25 minutes this series. So it's just the fact that, it's the cool head and knows how to make the right play. And generally on his teams, he will make players around him better because he's always that pass first type point guard.
I think is he the only player in history that's won the title for the two biggest teams, two biggest championship winning teams in NBA, in the Celtics and the Lakers?
They did bring up the imaging I think it's for the LA Lakers, but there was imaging. I should have wrote it down. I think I missed it, but there's a bloke from the, he was from the 60s that won with the Minneapolis Lakers and the Boston.
That's fair.
He's the first one to do it with the LA Lakers and the Boston Celtics. So, AD was super efficient. You know, I think he was 8 for 9 in that first half. They just had absolutely no answer for him at all in this game. Finished 15 for 20, 14 rebounds. Like, it just, he was the guy that sort of really stepped up. I thought another player that sort of stepped up throughout this series as well was KCP. Like, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope was... He was not insane, but he was just, he had those contributions when they needed them.
Yep. Yeah, his contribution exactly was just enough to complement AD and LeBron. Like, he got the points he needed, and he was able to shift the ball a lot when he needed to. So he's a guy that's, I think we need to keep. I mean, we'll probably talk about this later, but he's just come off contract or a player option, which he's declined. I think he's a guy that we really, really need to re-sign.
Look, now that he's got the ring, who's to say that he won't? You know, if he's going to chase money. If he's going to go out there and chase the money now that he's got himself a ring, or if he wants to keep winning and maybe take a little bit less.
Yeah, possibly. Then shifting to game three. Look, the Heat had to win this one. They really had to win this one.
Oh, this was absolutely a game that Miami had to have. Like, if they didn't win this, you know, the old story of history goes is no team in NBA Finals history has ever come back and won from 3-0 down. So game three was an absolute must win for Miami. And, you know, Jimmy Butler had... one of the, as they keep saying, one of the great performances of finals history.
Yeah, yeah. He played 44 minutes. Like, he couldn't walk, literally, after that game.
Pretty much every game after this, he was absolutely spent.
40 points, 11 rebounds, 13 assists. But what I found in this game, the key was there was a Jay Crowder and possibly also a little bit of Iguodala, but they were able to shut out AD in that game. Only getting 15 points, really, is
he
not...
AD got in foul trouble early, and that's sort of... Yeah, that's sort of affected him a little bit. You could see Butler was just intent on taking it to the basket. He shot 20 free throws. He didn't shoot a three-point at all.
Yeah, no, he got 20 free throws.
And Butler can hit the three, but it was just one of those performances... Where, you know, he's been compared as one of the best games in finals history with the great big men of the game, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, those sorts of players, because he hadn't shot a three, and that's, I guess, you know, that's the way that the league is at the moment.
Yeah, but, well, that's right. But I think you're right. That was the key. If he kept driving, AD was in foul trouble really quick, so they had to really he got taken out of the game from that. Which is what they needed,
and,
really.
Look, and LA in this game as well, I think, fell in love with the three. They made 14, but 42 of their 79 shots, like total, were three pointers.
Yeah.
So I think, they fell in love with that three a little bit. Didn't win a quarter in this game. The sort of playing from behind, maybe playing a little bit of catch up. Markieff Morris hit five triples in this game. You know, they had
off for 11 attempts.
Kuzma had good contribution off the bench. This was probably, you know, Rondo's poorest game of the finals. You know, he had 8 rebounds, 5 assists, but only 4 points.
LeBron only getting one of five shots. Yeah, you're right. The 3 points. And they all, except for Dwight Howard, every player attempted the three-pointer, which I don't know if that's always a good way of playing a game. You know, look at your starting shooting guard, Danny Green, 0-4. So he was terrible in that game.
Danny Green only played
16 minutes, but
Danny Green was a little off, shall we say, throughout this series. And as we sort of go a little bit further into it, I think it was after game five, after he missed that shot, and all the douchebag LA fans out there giving him and his missus death threats and stuff like that. So it's like, get the F over yourselves. But we'll come to that when we get to game five. But this game Danny Green. So to me, it was sort of the story of Danny Green is one of your sharpshooters. You know, Duncan Robinson needed to really find a little bit of a groove in this game. Did a little bit, like didn't shoot overly well, but you know, ended up having 13 points for the game. You know, Tyler Hero started. He wasn't great in this game. You know, not efficient anyway, 6 of 18, but just provided that little bit of help that Jimmy Butler needed to take this game and keep the series alive.
Jimmy Butler was, for me, is one of those players that, is it possible he doesn't, he's a great player and everyone knows he's a great player. Is it possible he doesn't get talked enough up to the elite sort of guys? He's an elite guy, but I'm talking up to that. You know, he never really gets mentioned in that NBA, in the MVP sort of, really. You don't really talk about him and being that MVP echelon. I'm not saying he's there yet, but should he be? You know, we always talk about Kawhi and LeBron, obviously, Giannis, obviously, you know, AD as well. But should he get sort of put up into that echelon with Harden? Well,
he will be now.
Yeah.
I think just over the last couple of years where he sort of shunted through a few teams, and I think his reputation sort of may have got damaged a little bit. You know, with sort of, you know, with his time with Minnesota, not talking personally from me, I don't think his reputation for mine got damaged a little bit, but I think there was sort of a perception there. He was too hard on some of the younger players. Like, you know, he was calling out guys left, right, and center, at Minnesota. When he went to Philadelphia, they looked like they had, a team that could possibly, you know, go deep into the playoffs. They sort of fell short on that. And yeah, basically left there as well. He didn't really want any part of that anymore. And goes down to Miami, where I guess he sort of embraced that, what they call heat culture. And there's guys there that have responded positively to him, his style of play, and sort of, I guess, his personality.
And I think it was actually the Miami organization. I think they gave him that little bit of freedom that he likes too, where if he wants to sort of say something, he can without getting...
Pat Riley's the same.
Exactly.
Yeah, Pat Riley's the same. He will let you get in his face, you know, if it's warranted and valid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure in the championship they won in 05. Guys, they had guys on that team like Gary Payton, Alonzo Mourning, Shaquille O'Neal. Like, they had some sort of fiery guys. And, you know, as long as the criticism was warranted, then Pat Riley will take that, and he will embrace that sort of, embrace that sort of behavior as long as it gets them the win. And, you know, obviously that happened back then. But just looks like this team and the way that it's constructed it's obviously Jimmy Butler's team, but it's just the way that they've sort of gone about their toughness. You know, Udonis Haslam is still there at 40 or 41, after that game two, during game two, they called a timeout. They were getting blown out, and he sort of come out and sort of tried to give everyone a little bit of a gut check and a bit of a rev up. And whether that sort of carried over to this game three or not, I'm not sure. But, you know, it's just sort of typical of what the Heat have done this season, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Moving on to game four, but so the Lakers hit back, winning 102-96. Look, even though it's obviously he wasn't the highest scorer or anything, but I think that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope in this game was really clutch on both ends, on the defensive and the offensive end.
Absolutely influential.
Yeah, he literally was clutch. I don't know. He just had that game where he's doing what needs to be done. That's a perfect compliment to me of a player that in his position with the amount of money he's making, even if you want to look at it that way. He was clutch. He was great.
He had a couple of corner threes that were crucial. Like he's especially in that first half, like he was there. He was big in that first half to sort of, I guess, sort of establish LA in that game. Like close all the way through this game though. Like nobody really got out to any, you know, any big leads or anything. But just to keep the Heat at bay, even with Bam coming back in this game, he sort of looked a little rusty. To say rusty, 15 points and 7 rebounds. He just didn't look like, you know, him. If that sort of makes any sense.
Yeah,
good contributions from the Heat side. Yeah, Jimmy Butler, there's no way he was going to be able to back up his Herculean performance from the game before, but nearly got a triple-double anyway.
Yeah, he did.
You know, LeBron was two assists shy of a triple-double. It just, I think that game was the story of zero bench production for Miami and just not being able to hit the open three. Just sort of a little bit of a deep dive into the analytics. Out of 11 wide open threes that the Heat had, they only made 2.
Yeah.
So you know, that's not great. You know, you've got to hit the wide open three at a higher clip than that.
Yeah.
Even if they'd hit a couple more of those, you know, maybe this game sort of swings the other way. But
well, they had
enough attempts. This game was absolutely, you know, the efficiency and the game that Kentavious Caldwell-Pope had, I think, one of the biggest influences on, you know, obviously not stats-wise, but just the way that he'd sort of played that game and just influenced that game.
One of the few games Tyler Hero started too. So he was fairly productive with 21 points and 7 rebounds. So I think you're right. I think if you go down the minutes of the bench of Miami, there was just hardly any contribution at all from even with the minutes that they played, they really didn't contribute much to the game. So
this was more of your traditional sort of playoff game where it's a bit of a slugfest. It's not uber fast offense or you know a lot of transition or anything like that. So LA sort of were a little bit sloppy in the first half.
Yeah.
I think they had 9 turnovers in that first half. So that sort of didn't really help. I think LeBron had 5 of those 9 turnovers in the first half, but only had 1 in the second half. So with the amount of times that he handles the ball, he's going to have a few turnovers, but that's just part and parcel of it. So, LA were only up 2 at the half.
It was close. I mean, if we move on to game 5 as well, that was a close game. You know, Miami.
Another close one. It's starting to turn into, a good final series.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it wasn't blowouts like the first couple of 2 or 3 games. Yeah, this was another one. So another close one, 111-108 for Miami. I was very impressed with Duncan Robinson in this game, clearly. You know, 26 points.
Oh, my God, Duncan Robinson. He was huge in this game.
Yeah, his 3 points were 7 of 13. He was great, but he's been quiet the whole time. So, I didn't suspect.
Look, LeBron was on 5 from 3 as well.
Oh yeah, 6 of 9. Yeah, 40 points. He. No, I'll save that to the end. I'll bring something up at the end after this. The 3 points. You're right. If you look at the the box score, just the scores quarter by quarter. This going by the way they were both playing, they were just trading barbs up until sort of really that fourth quarter where the Heat just sort of had it, just kept them in check enough right at the end. Up until obviously the Danny Green missed three that we wanted to talk about before.
Look, Jimmy Butler played all of 1 minute of that game. Well, I think it was 50. It was like 52 seconds. So
yeah,
he played
yeah.
every single minute of that game. You know, again, another finals triple double for Jimmy. A short rotation as well too for Miami. They only used 2 players off the bench in Iguodala and Kendrick Nunn. Kendrick Nunn was good in that game as well.
Yeah.
But I think the way that Duncan Robinson stretched the floor for Miami was unbelievable. You said, 7 for 13. There's only 2 guys in NBA Finals history who have hit more 3-pointers in a single game.
Maybe in
the finals, and that's okay. Yeah, hit me with it.
I'd have to go. Surely it's one of the Splash Brothers. Have to be.
Yeah, well, that's one, Steph Curry. And who's the other Curry. One?
Couldn't be the other Splash Brother. How are we talking, recent or a while back?
He is a recentish sort of player. He doesn't play anymore.
Not Kobe.
No. He has played for the Miami Heat.
Dwayne Wade?
No.
Who?
Very influential in getting that second title for Miami in the big 3 days in Ray Allen.
Oh, Ray Allen. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
No, that was it. To be in that elite company is just that's out of control.
Wow. I thought it's possible. I don't know. I'm not. Look, Dwight Howard was there in all these games, but he really didn't. I mean, this whole series, he just didn't contribute much to this game at all. I think he was just sort of
he was just there as a big body, and I guess sort of to antagonize a little bit too. I think that was it.
Yeah, but the production's not well. I mean, you know, if like Davis or LeBron have a bad game, yeah, I suppose, you know, KCP had a decent game in that, but. At least with Miami in that game, if someone does have a bad game, like Bam didn't play great, 13 points is, but you know, you had your Duncan Robinson step up, Tyler Hero, they all had sort of decent amount of points. That's what I'm sort of getting at, you know.
Yeah.
Dwight got 2 points and 2 rebounds for a center, you know, only played 15 minutes, but it's not the point.
No, and that's the thing. Look, nothing goes through him. So it's a matter of, he's just got to be, you know, that sort of that rim runner and a rebounder and a presence in the paint. Like that's all his role has to be. Like he's not the guy he used to be, you know, five or 6 years ago. Like how many teams did he go through in the last few years? You know, he was at Washington, he was at Charlotte, he was at Atlanta. He didn't embrace that. He still thought that he had the wherewithal and the production to be able to be key parts of those offenses, and none of the coaching staff and the teams wanted any part of that, and he was frustrated and disgruntled. It's just funny now how he's having lots of fun and, you know, and he's a little bit more productive and everything on a team that's actually winning, because Atlanta were a dumpster fire when he was there. Charlotte were terrible. Washington were terrible. Oh wow, I'm on three losing sides. Oh, I'm not having fun. You know, now he's on a team that's actually winning. Oh, look at me. I'm having fun now. Yay. I'm going to win a championship. Yeah, it's fun. It's funny how it works.
Well, that's fair. I mean, if you move on, I guess if you look at the sixth and last game that LA won 106-93, he didn't start in center. AD was a weird sort of lineup. The way it was started was AD, Danny Green, a power forward, Caruso, and LeBron and Caldwell Pope. So...
No, they did that. Yeah, they did the essential sort of plug and play swap for.
He played 1 minute.
That's right. Yeah, well, they didn't want him to have any part of that game when the championship's on the line. Like, just no part of it at all.
They really didn't. Look, LA really. You know, I think I text you during it. I think it was the second quarter. They blew. They were out like. They were only out by 30, I think it was 28. It ended up being when I sort of texted you and went, you know, they're up by 28.
Oh, it was over. It was over.
64-36
at halftime. It was absolutely over. They just come out. I think they might have been a little bit sort of dirty on, not so much dirty, but I think they were a little bit disappointed that they couldn't close it out in game five. Yeah. They had the opportunity to do that, you know, the LeBron drive and the kick out for Danny Green on the wide open three to essentially win it for him, which I guess he took a little bit of criticism for, both of them, you know, Danny Green and LeBron sort of took a little bit of so-called heat for that. But they just come out and just absolutely just blew Miami off the court in that first half.
Rajon Rondo was, you know, 3 out of 4, 19 points, 30 minutes. Rajon just was, well, LeBron was a freight train, and he was just there complimenting him. He was great.
That's right. Yeah, LeBron a triple-double in the end there. But, yeah, I think this game had the Rajon Rondo stamp of approval, yeah. you know, yeah. all over it. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure he actually led, you know, he led the playoffs in assists. And he missed, that's what I mean, he missed the first series against Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think, yeah, he sort of, oh, no, sorry, yeah, most assists off the bench in playoff history. That's yeah. that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
So, yeah. and yeah, he missed the first series, the first five games against Portland. So imagine the numbers he would have put up for bench assists, you know, throughout this playoff run. So, yeah, like we said, you know, he was absolutely influential. This was probably his biggest influence throughout the series, and just to sort of get the Lakers over the hump. But Miami yeah. were just, yeah, they're just missing free throws, turnovers, you know, only shooting 35% from the field. It just wasn't going to cut it throughout that first half stomping.
Yeah, the field goal percentage was a telling one, I thought. You know, they just I mean, Jimmy only getting 5 out of 10. His field goal percentage wasn't that great. I suppose it was just across the board. They just weren't productive what they have been during this whole sort of final series. They were there at all.
Game five, as the game went on, you know, Bam Adebayo looked absolutely gassed by the end of it. But
yeah.
that win was fueled by Jimmy Butler during this game. Like, Butler was just trying so hard, and he was trying to be a bit more of a facilitator rather than to be the go-to guy. And once they got stomped on in that first half, it was just that the mountain was too high to climb. You know, Bam ended up having a decent game in 25 points, 10 rebounds.
10 rebounds, yeah.
But you just tell that could you imagine if Miami had won this and it went to a game seven? Like, they're just, oh, man, Jimmy Butler would have had nothing left.
He had
nothing left in this game. Played 45 minutes. He only missed 3 minutes. But yeah.
I agree.
He just looked like he had nothing left. He's trying to rely a little bit more on the other players to make shots, and it just wasn't happening.
And that's sort of really, again, why I really didn't think Miami would make it this far to the finals. I mean, Bam was a heavy contributor to get it along with other players. But at the end of the day, they really only had sort of Jimmy Butler that could sort of win them the game. And he did. Like, he did. Don't get me wrong.
Well, that's
but...
it. You know, and Goran Dragic come back in this game as well. Yeah. You know, sort of come back to his, I guess, his sort of customary bench role. But it just, you know, contribution-wise, it was just never going to be there. You know, he only had 19 minutes, missed all of his threes. You know, only had 5 points, 2 assists. It was going to take him a game to get back into sort of, I guess, sort of game shape, and get, you know, it sort of knock a little bit of the rust off. And, you know, it was just one of those games where it just wasn't happening for the Heat. And yeah, they battled back. They were down 36 at one point. I could only assume that the Lakers would have let the foot off the gas a little bit. Just towards the end, once they realized that it was going to happen, you know, only a 13-point win in the end. Like I said, yeah, all the damage was done in that first, you know, in that first half. So it's just, you know, it is what it is. They just that to get to game six, you know, Jimmy Butler used up too much gas, but you know, there was a lot of them. Bam looked tired. They just used up too much energy to force it to a game six.
And I just think also they, you know, a lot of people still had Lakers to sort of win, I guess, at the start of the year. But a lot of people were doubting their depth as well. Like, they didn't really, you know, what are you going to do with just the two, you know, 1-2 punch of AD and LeBron? And then who else are you going to use if they don't sort of step up? They had enough depth there.
They had the contributions depth wise and bench wise when they needed them.
That's right.
I think that, you know, the linchpin for this bench group was meant to be Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah,
and
he was
sort of had he just had an underwhelming playoffs, really.
Yeah, the whole playoffs.
Yeah, I don't, you know, hopefully when they come back next year, well, I don't hope, but you know, I'm sure you do and other Lakers fans do. But when he comes back next year, he sort of embraces that bench role a little bit more. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's getting the minutes, but it's a case of there's only one basketball. It's the same as Houston Rockets ball. Yeah, there's only one ball. And unfortunately, you know, Kyle Kuzma is probably going to be that third or fourth wheel. And he's just going to have to embrace when he gets looks and when he gets touches to be able to be efficient enough to be, you know, a guy that they need, you know, that they need to have a winning formula going forward.
Well, at the moment, it's kind of good. So, like, a lot of people are thinking, like, you need to get rid of, well, not get rid of Kuzma, but you might need to include him in deals to get AD in that. Fortunately for us at Lakers, he's still on that rookie sort of contract. So he's only making $3 million next year. And then you'll go on the qualifying offer of $5 million, which I'll take up, obviously. So,
well, the only reason that he wasn't included in the deal to get Anthony Davis was because he was actually healthy. I think the Lakers were trying to sort of pull the wool over everybody's eyes and saying, oh, we'll throw Brandon Ingram in there. Like, he had those blood clots in his arm and stuff like that. He wasn't actually healthy. Do you know what I mean? I think they were trying to do a bit of a swindle deal and go, oh, hey, look, you know, here's the potential here. And, you know, obviously Brandon Ingram has got, you know, a lot more upside than what Kyle Kuzma has. But I think that's how they sort of tried to fish, you know, to get that deal pushed through, you know, and coming from, you know, coming from a Pelicans sort of standpoint in, I think even myself for a little while, I was convinced that the guy that we wanted was Kyle Kuzma because he was healthy. You know, there was always question marks. Could Brandon Ingram come back from these blood clots in his arm and be, you know, a productive guy? And he absolutely proved that right, you know, in doubling his points average, you know, being the league's most improved player and sort of elevating himself to that next level of player.
Just imagine if he was it, like if they did take Kuzma and he was still in this team, my God, we would have been.
But once again, there's only one ball. Yeah. So Brandon Ingram was, you know, with the injury to Zion, Ingram was the guy. Everything went through him. You know, him and Drew Holiday, Lonzo Ball, those guys, they were the guys that were going to have the ball in their hand. You know, J.J. Redick was always going to be that catch-and-shoot sort of threat with the Pels. And it just, that's, I mean, to see the production that Brandon Ingram had and what he can potentially do, like he'll get himself a nice fat contract this coming off season. So, and hopefully it's with New Orleans, but he's just proved to you that he's the guy that everybody thought that he could be. He just needed to sort of step out away from the shadow, or, you know, away from the sort of, you know, the glitz and glamour of LA and go to a smaller market team where he can sort of be himself and, you know, maybe not be, you know, in the spotlight all the time. And yes, he's in the spotlight, but, you know, it's in a small market team.
Yeah, and a lot of people forgot that he was drafted second overall.
That's right.
So it's not like he's a terrible player. He was never a terrible player. Right. He just had those unfortunate blood clots. So,
I just don't think he progressed on as fast
possibly
as
not.
What everybody thought he was going to in LA. Like, he was a good player, you know, solid player. You knew he had a good mid-range game. He's long. You know, he's super lean. Like, a boy needs to hit KFC or Popeye's chicken or something like that while he's in New Orleans to sort of maybe get a little bit of beef on him. But, you know, there's comparisons out there to Kevin Durant 2.0, and just purely on his, you know, he's not as tall, but he's his length. You know, his length is a strength of his. You know, he started to hit the three on a more consistent basis. So, as a Pelicans fan, I'm sort of a little excited for next year, but I don't want to have expectations too high with a healthy Zion and a healthy Brandon Ingram. But you know, the future's bright there.
Yeah, you need a coach first too, obviously.
That's correct. The former coach, Alvin Gentry, has actually gone to Sacramento to be an assistant under Luke Walton. So there's still no coach appointed at New Orleans at the moment. There's three sort of leading candidates for that job. I think none more important than Stan Van Gundy at the moment. I think that would be the best hire. They're looking at Jason Kidd as well. And I have sort of heard rumors around that they're looking at Will Weaver, who's the Sydney Kings coach over here. So that's a bit of a stunner to see that he's in the mix as well. Both Van Gundys are in the mix for coaching jobs.
I think so.
Jeff Van Gundy he still lives in Houston, and he looks like he might be a candidate to go back to the Rockets. So they are going to totally change the way that they play ball next year, Houston.
Oh, they're going to have to. They have no choice.
As GM, D'Antoni's gone. If they look at someone like a Jeff Van Gundy, they're going to probably go to a more of a traditional lineup. So they'll need to get a big man. And boy, I bet you they'd like to have Clint Capela now.
Ooh, big time. We'll finish on that. So the Lakers won in six games. J.R. Smith had his shirt off by halftime. So he was ready to go.
I'm surprised he even suited up.
So that's our 17th NBA title, tying the Boston Celtics for the most championships. LeBron, I mean, we've said his name enough during this, but he clearly won the NBA Finals MVP. That's his fourth Bill Russell Finals MVP trophy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, fourth finals. So, you know, and he sort of said something that was, I guess he sort of really wanted to put out there in that, in that post-game interview where it's like, you know, he wants this organization to get respect. He wants AD to get his respect. And then he basically said, I want my damn respect. And it's like, look, that's terrific. I'm not taking anything away. He is an unbelievable player, but you don't ask for respect. You earn it, and people give it to you, and people give him respect.
That's what I couldn't work out.
He listens too much to all the BS of social media and all the, you know, and media in general of him getting disrespect. He gets his respect. He would be the most respected guy
100%.
In the league. He gets his respect. Like, it just, yeah.
But I couldn't work out because I was going to say before, but right now, after this, is LeBron or even AD? So who right now, after this NBA Finals, like, at the moment, is LeBron still the best player in the NBA currently, or is Giannis?
Giannis got the MVP, but...
I'm talking after this NBA Finals series. Like, is Giannis still... You know, I know he didn't make it, but... He had a chance to make it, so...
No, that's right. Yeah, and he had a chance. He just... Unfortunately, Giannis doesn't have a good enough, second punch. So that's...
Well,
you know,
that's probably... That's possibly the difference, really, but...
That's absolutely
right.
The difference.
I was perplexed because I think he gets... Go on anything on Facebook or just go on SportsCenter, and every second article is about LeBron James sneezes or whatever. So he gets enough respect.
ESPN is an infomercial for LeBron James, and it has been for the last 10 years.
It definitely has.
So he gets a lot of media exposure, and it's just the time that we're in at the moment that there is a lot of criticism that sort of gets dished around because, you know, social media is super toxic, and it's what you want to focus on. If he wants to focus on the negativity, then that's good for him. But I find the statement that, he's still trying to get the approval of fans. And it's just, no, you get the approval from your peers.
Which he has. That's what I can't work out.
He has. Of course he does.
You know, any player would love to play with him. I don't care what they say. You know, even if, you know, the way Kawhi is, he'd still love to play with LeBron James if he had the chance.
Of course he does.
So I just, I'm only bringing that name up because I'm moving on, looking at the, the NBA, all NBA teams were named. I think it was during or just before. The final series.
No, it was during the conference finals.
So we'll go through the all NBA teams. So the first team, and we'll, I suppose we'll talk about each team, but in the first team was Giannis, LeBron. The two guards were Harden and Doncic, and the center was Anthony Davis. So any real surprises there?
No, not really. I think that's what it's going to be. There's no real surprises. Like Doncic was massive. So. James Harden just had an unbelievable season this year as well. So, absolutely no surprises in that first team at all. Like I think that the only thing that sort of, if we get to the third team, I think is the only one where I thought there may have been a bit of surprise. But
the second team was Kawhi, Nikola Jokic, Damian Lillard, Chris Paul, which deserved second team appearance, and Pascal Siakam. So again, that was pretty straightforward, I thought as well. So the third team, who did you say? We've got Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, and Russell Westbrook.
Look, I think the only reason that somebody like Bradley Beal didn't make that team is because he was on an absolutely terrible team in Washington. But I think Bradley Beal deserved to be on that team more than Russell Westbrook.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. I don't think Russell Westbrook did enough.
Somebody's got to get the shots on a bad team, but I just... I know that they're trying to reward winning and things like that, but it just, if you just want to go season wise and, you know, guys that are playing well, then Bradley Beal was absolutely one of the 15 best players in the league this year. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hence, you know, and it was weird. And this is, I think, Barkley brought this up during the All-Star sort of selections, because he didn't get picked in that as well. No. It should go. And even by the coaches, you know, just because they're not having, the Wizards aren't having the greatest season, doesn't mean he's not having a great season. He's exactly 100% right. Should have been there. I totally agree with that. The defensive team, all defensive first team was Giannis again, Anthony Davis, Ben Simmons, Rudy Gobert, and Marcus Smart.
I guess no real surprises in amongst that, I don't think.
No.
Obviously they're going. Yeah, the defensive player of the year is going to be there. So, I don't think that there was any real surprises in that. In that first team anyway.
I think and just on Ben Simmons, I think the underrated part of this game a lot of people don't talk about is his defense. He's a very good defensive player.
He doesn't get mentioned enough, I think. For his size, he's good moving laterally. Correct. And yeah. because he's so tall and wide as well, like he can essentially nearly guard 1 through 5. Like he's tall enough at 6'8" to be able to guard, you know, your best either forward, you know, your best power forward or your best center. So, and he can guard the perimeter really well just with his length as well. So look, no real surprises in amongst that. You know, Rudy Gobert had probably, I guess, maybe a down year for himself, sort of is his lofty standards defensively. So it's not, I don't think there's too much to sort of say. I would have thought that Marcus Smart might have been a little bit closer to getting defensive player of the year. Going on sort of first team votes and stuff like that, you know, he got the least amount of first team votes, which I thought was a little disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. The defensive second team was Kawhi Leonard, Brooke Lopez, Bam Adebayo, Patrick Beverley, and Eric Bledsoe.
No, that's right. That's absolutely absurd. Absolutely absurd to have Eric Bledsoe in there.
Yeah.
What's Drew Holiday got to do? And is that a little bit of New Orleans bias coming out of me? Absolutely, it is. But are you seriously saying that defensively? That Eric Bledsoe had a better season than what Drew Holiday did, and it's just absolutely not true. It's just absolutely not true.
Going on the votes as well, which I couldn't work out. He nearly had He was he nearly had more points total votes than Bam Adebayo. He was only two behind Bam Adebayo. So I don't know. I don't get it. I don't remember him doing enough in the deep. I'm not saying he's not terrible, but I don't remember him doing enough to be in
there. He's a good defensive player, but there's no chance in hell that he had a better defensive season than what Drew Holiday did. It's just not true.
That's right. No, I totally agree with that.
Even someone like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
He absolutely had a monster season defensively. You know, he started to put up good numbers offensively as well. It's absurd.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. Even I think even someone from either Pascal Siakam or Serge Ibaka, because they were great defensively, Toronto Raptors.
No, that's right. But it's more so. I think it's the guards.
It's what I mean. You're not gonna upset like Kawhi, Bam, Davis, clearly, or Giannis. So it probably wasn't gonna happen. No, that's right. Yeah. So they were the all NBA teams. Did you have anything else you sort of wanted to touch on for the NBA?
No, I guess, just real quick, with the all rookie teams.
Yeah.
I guess that was sort of fairly obvious. Yeah, I think, Ja Morant, Kendrick Nunn, Brandon Clark, Zion Williamson and Eric Pascal. Look, Zion being in the first team, again, I think is absurd. 19 games of the regular season and you make the all-rookie first team.
I don't think so.
You put him in the second team. Just put him in the second team. Like, it just doesn't warrant being there.
If he can do enough in 19 games, then they can do in that. Well, it wasn't all the 82 games. But if he can do enough, I think that's fair enough. Why not?
It's because... Please, don't get me started.
I know. You're just trying to protect.
Like we said before, Portland Trailblazers, you're welcome for getting into the playoffs. Because the only reason that they made it to the playoffs to get unceremoniously dumped by the Lakers was because they wanted Zion in there. And that's it. And the Pels pooped the bed.
All you're doing is trying to protect him. That's all you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. The media are vultures. And they will pick this kid apart if he doesn't live up to 80% of the hype that's being circled around him. Like the media are vultures. If he doesn't come out next year and have an absolute blitz and a wow of a season, I guarantee you there's going to be talks of bust. I don't care what anybody says. He hasn't lived up to the hype and all this. It's just let him go out there and play and develop.
Yeah. No. Yeah. That's fair. I mean,
but that's what's going to happen. It's not going to happen. Mark my words right here.
Yeah. No. That's fair. That was pretty straightforward. I mean, even if Ja Morant had a way of a season, it was a big reason why the Grizzlies were nearly there into that playoff. Well,
Ja Morant received, 100 of a possible, 100 votes for all rookie team. And he should have got, however many people out there are voting for rookie of the year, he should have absolutely got 100% of those votes. Anybody who voted for Zion Williamson as rookie of the year is a dope.
Wasn't there one vote?
I think there might have been one or two.
99-1. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that. Anyone who voted for Zion Williamson to be Rookie of the Year is a dope. D-O-P-E.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that, but I still think if you can prove yourself in half a season, there's no reason why you can't make a rookie side.
He played 19 games.
But I agree with the first bit.
If they weren't going to give it to Joel Embiid a few years ago when he played 30... They weren't going to give it to Zion Williamson. It just wasn't going to happen. Like I'm pretty sure.
I agree. I agree with not giving him. No way. He deserved to be He shouldn't have even been in the finals of Rookie of the Year. So no. I agree with that. But I'm saying there's no reason why he couldn't make the rookie all NBA rookie team. There is no reason. I don't think that's fine.
Second team. Yeah, there was guys, PJ Washington that was actually healthy all season. Your boy Rui had a pretty good season, you know, to probably unseat. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just... It's ridiculous. Is that just a testament to how, you know, sort of poor this rookie class was, except for the top two?
Well, interesting you bring that up, because what I wanted to finish on was just only a little bit, but was just this next, I guess, rookie class and what the hell is going to happen in this NBA draft? Because this is the one first draft I can remember where I honestly can see Timberwolves even trading the number one overall pick. And there's articles galore coming out about that. Have no idea. Like, at least like the last few, the number one was pretty much set in stone, or close to set in stone.
Always, there was always pretty much a consensus number one pick, but nobody...
But
nobody knows that this year.
It's possible that there's going to be a lot of trades happen, which is, I love seeing that during a trade. It doesn't happen enough. It's awesome. But it's possible that the Timberwolves just might say, well, no, we'll go after we might go win now and just go after a star. I don't know who they're going to get, who they're going to talk to get the number one pick. But, and I don't know really what they need, possibly. I don't know, but...
It all comes down to team need, and what they see as a team need for them, if development wise, or if they feel that a rookie could come in, on a decent team and contribute now. I think that's a part of it. And yeah, like you said, you know, there's articles and rumors out there of Minnesota trading the number one pick. The article, or, you know, the rumors have sort of quietened down a little bit on the Warriors trading that number two pick.
Yeah.
I think simply because it just depends, and it will depend on what, I think it will depend on what Minnesota does. I think that James Wiseman will have, I think he's a good fit for the Warriors to go forward. And I think they will wait and see what Minnesota do if they trade and get rid of the number one pick, because they might feel that Wiseman might not be on the board at number two.
Well, it's possible he won't be. I don't.
Well, you just don't know. You have to wait and see what teams are going to do and willing to give up for these top picks, because you're not going to get the massive haul of a big superstar or future picks or anything for these number one picks, because they just don't hold the value of what they have in previous years, like we said, because there's not your quintessential superstar, guy that is an absolute stud in this draft. You know, there's very good players, and you just don't know what the potential could be high. But you just don't know. And I think a lot of these guys, especially after you get after maybe the top four or top five, are all potential guys and maybe system type players where if they fit into the right team, then they will play well.
The only, it'd be interesting. The only possible, I guess, if they're looking to trade for someone, they'd have to have a lot of assets lined up for this, but I could just imagine. And they would then use the number one pick. I could see if Phoenix Suns, I don't know if they want to give him up, but imagine if Devin Booker went to the Timberwolves for a number one pick, and there's probably a little, they'll take a number one pick and develop it with DeAndre Ayton and a couple of other key. But, you know, Booker's an all-star player on the right team, 100% an all-star player.
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, so, it'll just be whether or not if he wants to force himself out of Phoenix. Does he think now after this you know, hot streak run that they had in Orlando in the NBA restart, if they think that, or, you know, if they believe that the Phoenix Suns can push for a playoff spot? The thing is, though, if the West is going to be as stacked as what it has been in previous seasons, he's only going to be a lower seed unless he gets traded to the Clippers, the Lakers, the Nuggets. Yeah, you know, maybe somewhere like Houston. Like, if he's going to the Minnesota Timberwolves, that's not a great improvement.
No. Well, I don't know. Would DeAndre Russell Carl Anthony Towns and a Denver Booker. That's not a bad 1-2-3.
No, but that's I think of Ricky Rubio, Devin Booker, and you know Ricky Rubio is probably not the most glamorous name, but I think he's DeAndre Ayton. I think Ricky Rubio is in the mold of you know, he's not on the level of Rajon Rondo, but he's in the mold of that sort of player where he's going to be, you know, a pass first point guard, and that's kind of not so much what you need, but that's what they would look for moving forward, to get guys like Ayton and Devin Booker the ball, because Devin Booker can absolutely sort of score the lights out, and he can still be a focal point of the offense.
There is no consensus. That's what I mean. This draft could go anyway. I have no idea what's going to happen. Anthony Edwards is still up there. He could be number one pick.
No, that's right. I think he's still projected to be number one, though, isn't he?
I think so. Carl Anthony Towns is a player that I don't know. Like, is he? We're probably waffling on here, but he seems to get to that fourth quarter and he just doesn't contribute enough, like the size and you know, I guess the expectation that you think of him. I don't know. He needs another big man with him, and like an Anthony Edwards or a James Wiseman. I don't know.
Possibly. Like his skill set is amazing. Whether or not Jimmy Butler was right in sort of calling out guys like him and you know, and Andrew Wiggins for a little bit of effort, you know, or I think a lot of effort. When he was there at Minnesota, like it could just be, you know, he might not be the greatest worker, and that could be a bit of a reality check.
What I find, you know, you look at that number two pick then as well. Like the Warriors, I honestly think they'll pick someone because they still got Wiggins, they still got Steph Curry, you know, they still got Draymond Green. Oh, they've missing someone.
Another Clay Thompson.
Clay Thompson. So, you know, they could take a center, you know, Anthony Edwards or James Wiseman. And then that 1-5 is pretty stacked still, really, if you look at it. Wiggins will move to small forward. That's a pretty good
skill. Well, that's what I mean. Wiggins will be playing the three, but it'll just be what they can get out of guys like, you know, off their bench, guys that played a lot of minutes this year, especially the two rookies like Pascal and Jordan Poole. What can they get out of those guys as bench contributors? And they'd still have to do a little bit of tinkering with the roster a little bit. But yeah, if they take, I still think that they would be in a win now mode.
I think so.
And you know, maybe try and get somebody who's got a little bit more experience. You know, maybe if they're in their late 20s, rather than just a straight up one and done rookie, to try and develop him along the way. I think they're still in they'll be in an absolute win now mode with Draymond Green and the Splash Brothers. So
they have to be.
Oh no, yeah, absolutely they have to be. So that'll be the part that'll be interesting. I think, you know, the draft at this point in time is still set for November 18, so around about a month away. So this off season will probably move very quickly. I don't think there's a real start date for the NBA season next year. There'll either be a very limited summer league, if at all, summer league, and then just straight into preseason and start games.
Because it will be
another shortened season.
Well, the difference is now is that they can't really, or they possibly could, who knows, the bubble might be a bit harder with all those these teams this time around. So they're going to have, I don't know how they're going to do it this next season. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see, but... Ah, man, that draft. Well, the draft will be virtual like the NFL. You got LaMelo Ball still there, man. Who the hell knows where he's going to go? Like, he could go to Charlotte Hornets, which does not make sense, but I don't know.
No, yeah, it's. I mean, it'll be, and that he could be a guy that could drop down the board a little bit. And
yeah, I think so.
I think the Knicks have got him in sight.
Oh my God. I really think
the Knicks have got him in sight.
He's a great player, but a ball in New York, oh my God, that would just be...
LeVar will be packing up and moving to the Big Apple.
That'll just be all new. Like, that'll probably take the pressure off your boy Zion, because that'll just be a lot of news talking about LeVar and LaMelo in New York.
Oh, it'll be fantastic.
Well, I guess that'll do it, unless you had anything else for the NBA finishing off the season.
No, not really. Like, I guess if you sort of sum up the whole season, I guess, you know, with everything that happened this year, you know, COVID-shortened season, the restart in Orlando, you know, the strange playoffs that sort of come about with no crowds and stuff like that, you know, has this been an easy championship or a tough championship to win? I don't know, sort of what way you swing on that. I think this was a bit of a tough championship to win, just purely on the fact of the isolation away from family and everybody.
I think, to me, and I know, look, some people, no one's really said it yet, but a championship is still a championship, no matter what.
That's right.
So, you know, every team had a legitimate chance, and every team was actually on the same level playing field this year.
No, that's right. This essentially now sort of come down to personnel, and I guess, you know, usually the way that it goes is if you've got the best two or three players on your team, or you've got, the better two or three players on your team than your opponent, then you are going to win most series. Look, I think the things that might have been a little bit easier on players for this championship was, you know, essentially no travel. So, you know, getting on planes straight after games or anything like that. So recovery was going to be a lot better. And look, no walking into, you know, hostile arenas as the away team. Yeah. I think that helped a lot of teams throughout these playoffs, that they didn't have to go to, you know, to rabid places like, you know, Utah and you know, even into the Staples Center, where, you know, there's the fan base there can be pretty loud and Boston as well.
Yeah.
You know, Boston, yeah, Toronto, yeah, like places like that where you've got
to walk. Oh, would have changed going to Mile High.
Yeah, that's right. It could have been very different, but I think that sort of, the more experienced players that would have helped them, they just would have been, oh, wow, you know, we don't have to try and quieten down this arena. Like, you know, the arena's already quiet.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. But again, like, you know, they all had the chances. And that's the Lakers did, like you said, they did what they did. They had that 1-2 punch and it seemed to work. So it clearly worked. Well, I guess that'll do it for the NBA officially, I guess, 2020 NBA season. Don't forget to follow
us on... Finally done in November. Or close to November, you know, end of October. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah, that's a stretching season, isn't it? don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Final Play Pod and like us on Facebook, which is Final Play Podcast, which you'll be able to stream our podcast straight from the Facebook page. We're also on gimco.com.au, which is all your trading card needs if you're in one of those cults like the person I'm speaking to. You know what I'm talking about. Sorry. I thought you were going, huh? Like, what are you talking about? No, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do. I'm not even going to say his name this time. They're always thankful that we're on that website, because it's just another platform for us just to get us out there, which is great. And like and share us, because the more likes we get, the more we start doing. We'll probably have to do another 100 really just to get more likes, but we'll see.
No, that's it. You know, we get popular. We can quit our day jobs and we can do this for a while. So, you know, that'll
that might take a fair while. That might take more than another 100.
It's either that, or we got to win the lotto. So,
it's possible that it's hard to say which one will be quicker.
I know which one will be quicker.
That'll do it. My name's Jason Bubble Over Smith. Bubble finally over, Smith.
Yeah, bubble finally over. Finally over. My name's Miles. I hate the word bubble plum.
That's why I brought it up. I wonder if they're going to use it again this year. That's going to be hilarious.
When talking about this season, we'll be using it, and I'll be trying my absolute best to try and not use it.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. See you, everyone. Have a good week.
See ya. Thanks for tuning in for the 100. Yeah.